Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
To the 18th episode of Babes of Wonderland. I'm one of your hosts, Ashley Hay.
And I'm your other host, Laurel Deneen.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back. If you're just listening to Babes of Wonderland for the first time, what we like to do on each episode is discuss a different Disney film, Marvel film, one of their properties that Disney owns under that umbrella. And we'll give you maybe the history of the film before maybe correlating it to some other properties or some other social issues that are going on.
Totally.
And this week we are talking about Captain America. Captain America, the first Avenger is technically the title, but it's the first Captain America film. Everybody just calls it Captain America.
Right. We don't need to add a two or a three because it is the first.
Exactly. Yeah. It is the first. This one came out in 2011, so actually, what, 6 years ago now?
Yeah, it's been a while
now. It was directed by Joe Johnston, who did films like Hidalgo and Jumanji.
Jumanji's so good.
So good. And one of my favorites when I was growing up, Pagemaster. He did all of the live action for that one. I was obsessed with Pagemaster. I don't know why.
This is new. I didn't know this
about
you.
I did not care about Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin, but Pagemaster, Macaulay Culkin, I totally cared about.
You are an enigma.
I'm a weirdo. I think we can just say it out.
But no, it's fine. No, I meant it in a good way.
The film was written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who actually did Thor the Dark World, all the Captain America films now, and the Narnia series, which I did not know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, which I really enjoyed when Disney came out with those.
Yeah, those were good.
It starred Chris Evans, obviously, as Captain America, Steve Rogers. Hugo Weaving, who is a master in every geeky property you could possibly think of.
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, he's in Lord of the Rings. He was V in V for Vendetta.
He's great. He's an amazing actor.
He has a lot of range.
How has he not won an Oscar yet?
I know, right?
He's like my new Leo. He needs to get an Oscar.
Leo's won. Now let's move on to Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
And then Haley Atwell as Peggy Carter,
which is her.
Oh, she's so great. Samuel L. Jackson obviously comes into the end.
Yep.
And then we have
Stanley Tucci,
Also one of my favorites.
Oh yeah.
And Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes and Dominic Cooper.
Yeah, because he plays the young.
Yep, Harold Stark.
Yep.
The movie was really successful. It grossed over $370 million worldwide. For the introduction of a character, it was probably the biggest since Iron Man as far as a new character being brought up.
Right. Well, I think people, you know, Iron Man was done so well.
And it was such a surprise, I think, is what really drove those sales. But yeah, if you hadn't had that first Iron Man movie, you wouldn't have had any of the subsequent Avengers movies for sure.
No, you wouldn't have Thor.
Yep. You wouldn't have Hulk. You wouldn't have Captain America.
Right.
And hopefully, cross our fingers, a Black Widow movie eventually.
Yeah, right? Even I would even take a new Hawkeye. You know, the new Hawkeye story is so good with Kate Bishop. Yeah. That would be really cool. Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen the Captain America movie or read any of the comics, basically the story follows Steven Rogers, who is kind of a weak physically character. He's got asthma. He's got a heart condition.
Super scrawny.
But he's very brave, and it takes place during World War II when the fight is breaking out, and he wants to enlist. So he goes to several different places trying to get in. They're like, no, guy, like, you're unhealthy. If you went out there, you would die. You just can't do it.
While his friend, Bucky, gets to enlist.
Exactly.
So they're best friends, which is important for later story arcs.
Yes, very much so. And they actually, I think, basically after Steve Rogers' parents die, he grows up with Bucky and his family. So it's a very important relationship, and he's watching his best friend go off to war, wishing that he could do that, not only because he wants to follow his friend, but because he wants to fight for his country.
Yeah.
And basically he runs in to a scientist who is working for the army and says, I'll give you a chance. If you come to this basic training program, we'll see if you have what it takes. And he ends up being the one that they pick through that program.
Yep.
And they give him a super soldier serum that turns him into Chris Evans.
The hotness.
The Dorito-shaped Chris Evans.
He is a Dorito shape.
He is a triangle of a man.
Yes. Because he's huge. I mean, and Captain America is a big character. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of the story. Character.
Yeah.
The movie follows the story pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is such a good lesson in the movie is the reason he's picked is because of his character.
Yes.
It's not, you know, there's other people there that they could easily do this for. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be a super scrawny person.
Yeah.
It doesn't have
In fact, they don't prefer him.
Right.
Like, no one but the scientist who's running the program prefers him.
Right. And he just shows again and again that he is brave and he cares about people. And
he's this moral character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So he would have been a Gryffindor, I think.
For sure he would have been a Gryffindor. No question.
And it's during, yeah, so like you said, it was during World War II. So that's the time of the Nazis, and he starts traveling around being kind of the poster boy for the war.
Selling bail bonds, or war bonds. Yeah, to support the army, mm-hmm. and he kind of has a stage show and a stage presence. Exactly.
And he, you know, that's not what he thought he was going to do. He thought he was actually mm-hmm. going to be able to help and fight and be a part. And even though that is an important part, you know, they made this super soldier who was essentially just dressing up and dancing with people.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually he finds his way, as many acts did back in the day, to performing for the soldiers. And he finds out that a bunch of the people who are there in the audience are what's left of his best friend's regiment.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of them have been captured, including his best friend. So he goes out and rescues them, basically. Yeah. Against orders, he goes out, he brings them home. And then suddenly he is this war hero and he gets to go on missions and he has his own team. And from there, Captain America arises, basically.
Right. From the ashes.
From the ashes.
From the serum. From ashes. That didn't work.
It's
so
a cocktail,
well.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, I tried. I tried. Well, when you were doing research, I thought it was interesting that Chris Evans declined this role 3 times.
Yeah.
And then signed on to do 6 pictures as Captain America. Because, you know, they do the Avengers mm-hmm. and the spinoff stuff.
They wanted to have the option, for sure, to keep that character. And I think that a large part of that is that he was Johnny Storm in the original Fantastic Four movies.
Right.
And so he was like, if this film is awful and I've signed up for 6 pictures, I'm in trouble.
Right.
And if it's great, I'm also kind of in trouble because I'm signed on for 6 pictures.
Well, and then that's kind of what you're recognized as, right? You know,
exactly.
He doesn't, with Iron Man being Robert Downey Jr., you know, he has such a catalog
mm-hmm.
that I think it's probably something that our generation knows him best for, but he...
Before that, he had a very long career.
Yeah. And so it doesn't necessarily define him, and mm-hmm. I think he embraced it and, you know... Chris Evans has done other things since, and so has Robert Downey Jr., but that's what I think what he kind of meant by he was going to be screwed.
Yeah.
You have all these movies to do, so it makes it harder to do other movies, and you're kind of pigeonholed in mm-hmm. this role.
And I remember when the casting first came out that he was going to be cast as Captain America, I was like, what? That guy from Not Another Teen Movie is going to be Captain America?
He was funny in that movie.
He was, but it's like, that's, what?
Yeah.
That's not who I would picture. And he proved me wrong completely.
Yeah.
I thought he was a great Captain America. But it was interesting that he had some doubts of, like, do I want to do this? Mm. Do I want to sign my career away to this role?
Yeah.
And since he's come out and said, it's great, I can't believe I almost, you know, blocked myself from being Captain America. Mm-hmm. I mean, what more could I ask for in a career?
Yeah. Well, because he said that his motivation for turning it down was fear-based. And since, you know, that's not a reason necessarily to not do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, jumping off a cliff, fear-based?
Yeah.
To, like, you know, go cliff diving? Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe not do that.
Yeah.
But to take a role that you think is risky,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't not take it because, you know, look what can come from it.
Exactly. And I think he's not really, he's one of the cast that freely admits that he's not a comic book guy, despite mm-hmm. having been in several comic book pictures.
Yeah.
So is this Fantastic Four, mm-hmm. Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
And
I love him.
And The Losers.
And
so he's been in 4 different comic book properties,
right.
But he's not a comic book guy. So he didn't really know, I think, the depth and the different ways that you could really go with mm-hmm. Captain America when he was first signing on.
Yeah, you didn't know the history of Captain America.
Exactly. But another casting that I was in love with was Haley Atwell as Peggy Carter.
Peggy.
Peggy is my favorite character in the entire MCU. So just be aware that I will be talking about Peggy Carter quite a bit.
Laurel's she is going to be gushing about
my Peggy. Favorite. Yeah. But the way she that Hayley Atwell describes how she wanted to play this character is so great. She said that when she was developing the character, she was thinking of that classic Ginger Rogers quote, whereas she can do anything a man can do, but backwards and in heels. And she just, you know, substituted a man for Captain America. Mm-hmm. And then she's also said, I wanted her to be a character who was feminine but tough. And I wanted her to be using a machine gun, but it was obvious she had gone to the loo to reapply her lipstick before she went out to fight.
Girl, yes.
Yes. I was like, thank you. I love that you could be tough. And feminine, and not, like, girly feminine, but just, she has this sultry stability about her.
Yeah.
Like, she's such a great female character in the MCU. She's so well-developed for being in this film for such a short amount of time.
She is. She's one of the best parts, and that's why, you know, they then did a 2-season spinoff of Peggy Carter.
Agent Carter.
Where it takes, it's the story after Captain gets frozen and he gets lost.
Yep.
And
how so after the war
they still have to keep fighting. She still has to keep doing things for the betterment of the world. And you know, she doesn't have superpowers, but she has super great intellect. She has a drive that no one else has.
And I think the beauty of this series also was in the beginning of season one, she's dealing with gender politics because she's come back from the war and now she's in an office and they're treating her like a secretary.
Absolutely.
And she's like, I am an agent. And the best quote from her from that entire series is, I know my value.
Yeah.
She's like, their approval or whatever they say doesn't matter to me. I know my value. I am an agent. I am tough and I can get things done. And she will go behind their back sometimes and get things done.
Yeah. She's kind of a vigilante in the system.
Yeah.
You know, but she doesn't do anything as overt or crazy, I don't think, as, you know, say a Batman or
no, Captain, not at all. She's working within the system, but she's not going to be sidelined.
No,
she's
not.
I think that's what is the vigilante aspect of her, is that she will go to her friends who have connections and she will get things done. Whereas if she was completely going by the book, she wouldn't have gotten those things done and they wouldn't have had her out in the field.
Yeah, they wouldn't have let her accomplish a lot of those things. And I want to own literally every single piece of clothing she wears
in
the movie and in Agent Carter.
Oh,
it is. It is amazing.
Her wardrobe person. All the praise.
Nailed it. And I love that she's bosomy and she's not super, super skinny.
No.
But she is flawless.
Mm-hmm.
She always looks so pretty. And yeah, you know, people are like, well, you can't run in heels. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
If you do it long enough. I mean, it's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to do it. It's.
And there was a film that she was in, speaking about her body type, there's a film that she was in before Captain America with, I believe it was Maggie Smith.
Mm.
And at one point they were kind of like, well, you might need to lose some weight. And Maggie Smith is like, if you make that girl lose some weight, I'm walking.
Yeah.
So she didn't want to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So she was being pressured and Maggie Smith was like, no. And I think that kind of carries with Hayley Atwell, is that she owns her figure.
Yeah.
And she's not overweight at all.
She's a size average. 6, 8.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah, exactly. And she looks amazing.
Ooh, yes. I have so much jealousy of her body. It's so nice.
Her body, her wardrobe, and her acting is superb. Like, she carried that show like no one's business.
I know. I'm so upset it was only 2 seasons.
There was a huge outcry when Agent Carter got canceled. Everybody's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is our show.
What is happening?
Every geeky woman and many geeky men.
Most men really liked it, too. Because it is. It's a good story. It's smart. And part of that show, you get to meet and understand Jarvis, who again is one of the best characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship between him and Peggy, of just true friendship where they trust each other and they understand each other to a T, but there's no romantic involvement.
Exactly. And Peggy kind of brings out this side of him that he maybe was always buried there because he always kind of craved adventure. I mean, he worked for Howard Stark.
Yeah.
But Peggy Carter kind of brought him into this world where he could be tough and he could be decisive. And
yeah. He wasn't just like a butler.
Exactly. He was so much more. And you realize later why Tony Stark names his AI after Jarvis. Because basically Jarvis, I think probably at the time, raised Tony Stark in the end.
Well, yeah. I mean, with everything he did and just kind of always being a voice of reason, but also being encouraging.
Yes.
You know, he was kind of...
And he was very much there for Peggy, like, even when he didn't agree with what necessarily her plan of action was.
Yeah, he had her back.
Yeah.
And that's, and it's just nice to see that kind of friendship and that partnership without it having to be romantic.
For sure.
Yes. So, great show if you haven't seen it.
Yes.
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter. Check it out.
Yes.
I love that they really stayed so true in this film also to the comic book origins. Mm-hmm. Because the comic book was developed in 1941, so right around the time that this takes place, by
Jack Kirby and Joe Simon.
Yep, for Timely Comics, which was one that was around before Marvel, and Marvel would eventually pick it up.
Yeah.
But obviously he was a patriotic character. He spent the majority of his, all of his first run, battling Axis powers, so Nazis. There's the first issue has him punching Hitler. That was a huge, a huge iconic moment, and it's still one of the most iconic images of Captain America, especially in comic book form.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And the first issue of Captain America, you know, like you said, was featuring him punching Hitler, but that was still a little much even for that time.
Because they weren't, the United States wasn't in World War II yet.
Not, you know, so, not 41.
Yes, exactly.
Like just on the brink of it.
Mm-hmm. It was before Pearl Harbor. So there were a lot of readers. This actually, and to put it in perspective, when the first issue came out, it sold 1 million copies. Back then, that was more than Time magazine sold. And that was,
insane.
A huge publication. And it was a comic. So it was a huge deal. But reaction to that, there were some protests against his agenda, going after Nazis. Because not all of the U.S. was on board with that yet, unfortunately, which is hard to believe for us now, because you look back and you think of what was the most evil group to exist, and everyone is going to say Nazis, you know, because it's recent history, and it was genocide, you know, like it's, it's crazy what happened back then. But at the time, not everybody was on board with that, so they had people writing hate mail. Eventually, the NYPD had to be stationed outside Timely Comics offices, because people would gather and get rowdy.
Right. Maybe do a little rioting with their protesting. So didn't they pulled it, didn't they? They didn't do any more.
No, they did do more. They continued on, and eventually the mayor of New York came out in support of the comic.
Oh.
I mean, he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great person to say, hey, this character is from New York. He's out there trying to make the world a better place. And he did have a pretty big, good run for a first-time comic. And once World War II really started and the U.S. was drawn in after Pearl Harbor, then he got really big as well.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's kind of like Rosie the Riveter. At wartime, you have to have these kind of iconic figures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of crazy how mirroring it is to events that are happening now.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, after World War II, his popularity did peter off. Mm-hmm. And the comic did end, and then he was picked up in the 60s by Marvel. So there was a period of time after World War II, before 64, where he was gone. And then I think that people saw the need because of things going on in the 60s.
Right.
Those events were very much like, we need someone to lead us. And in the comic books, it was like, well, who did that for us before Captain America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, right, because in the 60s, that was the Vietnam War, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had, especially like 69, the Summer of Love, that's when the hippies, you know, really developed, and there was a lot of outcrying against war.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's definitely a place for him to come back and kind of inhabit as far as pop culture goes.
Well, and when they reintroduced him in 64 in Avengers number 4, Jack and Stan had this idea of that he had been frozen in this block of ice.
Yep.
And that's where he's been since his plane crashed in World War II, which is why he hasn't been around.
Yep, and so that's why he hasn't aged. Right. Yep.
Yeah. Didn't they also in the movie, he ages slower just in general from the serum, doesn't
he? Exactly.
Yeah. So that had something to do with it. But
when he reappeared, it was interesting because he went kind of from fighting Nazis. I mean, that was still, you know, a big part of him.
Mm-hmm.
It always will be. It's synonymous with Captain America. That's his big enemy, is Red Skull, who is...
Yeah.
You know, part of Hydra's division that split off from the Nazi party.
Mm-hmm.
But he was kind of fighting communism then, because it was more mirroring of what was going on.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to watch, like, politically, he's always kind of fighting the enemies of the United States, pretty much.
Yeah. But now it's a lot of inner turmoil within the states that we're seeing just with, you know, the recent presidential election. And I find it, I don't want to say ironic or funny because I don't think a lot of it's funny, but that, you know, we had this picture of Captain America punching a Nazi in 1941, and people are now talking about punching Nazis again.
Yeah, I think that Captain America has not been out of print since the 60s, and there's a reason. There's always been, domestically or foreign and abroad, there's always been some turmoil, because when you're one of the main powers in the world, that's going to happen. And now we really have this environment that, whether you are a Republican or a Democrat, you cannot deny what's going on right now. It is a lot of protesting and worries. I mean, the thing
that's, people are scared.
A lot of people are scared right now, and they have every right to be. Whether you agree with the policies or not, you can't say that people don't have a right to be scared.
Not when so many things are falling in line and repeating itself to what happened prior to World War II. It's scary how it mirrors.
It does. And I think that one of the things that really concern me is the trying to crack down on the freedom of press and the freedom of information and the quote-unquote alternative facts.
Right.
It's scary.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, that's not a thing. That facts are facts.
Yeah.
Alternative facts don't mean I've made up these facts and this is what they are now.
Right.
I think if you were listening to this podcast, you know that we're feminists. You know that we lean liberal.
Absolutely in our social, you know, morals and, and we embrace diversity in all of its forms.
Yeah, and I think that that's a large part of what brings us, that draws us to Disney and Marvel, is that these films are about embracing who you are and being true to yourself and inclusivity and love and standing up for what you believe in, especially in the comics, and especially with Captain America. That's what he fought for. And there is that, you've seen Captain America a lot right now if you're on social media or anything like that, not only because someone just punched a alt-right, quote-unquote, Nazi, he describes himself as that, getting punched in the face, and people are then putting the picture of Captain America punching a Nazi up there.
Yep.
But also because of one of his greatest quotes in the film, which is, "I don't like bullies, I don't care where they're from." And I think a lot of people right now are feeling that the bully is our own commander-in-chief.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get where people are coming from and that they want things to be America first, blah-de-blah-de-blah. But we don't live in, we live in a global
community,
economy and community now. It's not, this isn't.
Well, not only that, but America has always been about welcoming immigrants. We, if it was always America first, then none of us would be here.
No.
This is Native American land that was stolen.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we live on stolen land, people.
Yeah.
Regardless if you think that or not. It's not right. And to keep fighting that idea, you know, by telling people they should go home or any of that stuff, then by all rights,
so should you.
Yes.
You so may have you. Been here a little bit longer, but that doesn't mean that you were, you know, naturally part of this landscape, you know, before people started voyaging across the sea. And that's the, to me, that's what's so great about the human species, is that we are explorers. We go out and we want to find, we're curious, and finding a place that you desire to be is part of your experience as a person. And people coming from these countries that are not as stable, that are, you know, maybe dangerous for them.
Mostly they're dangerous.
Yeah, very much so. And we should be embracing them and saying, hey, welcome. Please come and make our tapestry even more beautiful. And the day it was, we don't want Irish here, or we don't want Italians here.
Yeah, it's just, it's
and now it's, we don't want people who are of the Muslim faith here.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
I don't understand, you know, the thing when rewatching Captain America, it just shows how, you know, it's Hydra, but it's, again, like you said, they were an offshoot of the Nazi regime.
They want, yeah, and they wanted a homogenous, pure race.
Yeah, but there is no such thing as that. And
no.
And
think about when you ask a friend, so what is your nationality?
Yeah.
Which is something that we do here in America a lot, and that's really not common in other countries.
Yeah, probably not.
I've lived abroad, and they're always like, well, why are you Americans so obsessed with, like, your ancestry?
Right.
And we're like, well, because America is a melting pot, and it's always interesting to see, oh, where did your family come from? Or where did your family come from?
Yeah.
You know?
Where did your family immigrate from?
Exactly. Because that's the majority of people. And to say that, well, now we don't want any more immigrants is going against everything that we kind of founded this country on.
Yeah. Well, not only, a lot of people are here because we enslaved people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a melting pot for reasons that a lot of countries and races were coming to, you know, escape from persecution or wanted to have freedom mm-hmm. of, you know, taxation, you know, all these things. Yeah. But then you also have a whole race of people that didn't choose yeah. to come here.
Who were brought here against their own will, yeah. who were taken from their families and now are, you know, I mean, there's still leftovers of segregation
mm-hmm.
and there's just an underlying racism
yeah.
that we need to address and that needs to be addressed. And I think that ignoring that is not going to help anything. And Captain America would certainly agree.
Right. He has yeah.
His friends are very diverse. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that I love about Captain America, not necessarily in this film, but as he progresses through the MCU, is that he doesn't agree with the government. And he's not afraid to say so.
Right.
And he goes off on his own and says, this is what is morally right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I have to hold myself to.
Yeah.
Because if I don't hold myself to my morals, then I don't stand for anything.
And the key of that is his morals aren't taking freedoms away from anybody else.
Exactly.
And so while Disney and Marvel as a whole, I think, are working to make their movies and their comics more diverse,
mm-hmm.
they're very white from the beginning.
Yes.
And so bringing in Nick Fury mm-hmm. at the end and bringing him and showing him as such a great, amazing, strong character.
Yeah, the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. And he's funny and he's intelligent and mm-hmm. he cares about all the Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, he cares about who they are. He checks in on them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell that him and Captain have a very deep connection.
Despite maybe the environment that he grew up in, which was probably not as diverse.
I was just going to say.
Yes. Yeah. In 1941, we still had a ways to go. And
Brooklyn
also
was still very white in 1941.
Yeah, definitely. And I also love that one of the first friends that he makes is Sam mm-hmm. Falcon, who is also African American.
Yeah.
And that doesn't faze him. Like, he doesn't see
it's not a thing. They're just people. They're just yeah. characters, mm-hmm. which is what it should be, right?
Exactly.
You got to normalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea that what's happening is we're normalizing the wrong things. We're normalizing hate. We're normalizing mm-hmm. marginalization and prejudice. And
I think there's a lot of people out there that just, like, I don't see these problems because I don't live in the city. Or I see these problems, but I don't think that paying further attention to them is the way that we should fix it. We should just ignore it till it goes away.
Right.
That's not how things work, unfortunately.
Nope.
We've been ignoring it for many years, and mm-hmm. it has only gotten, you know, steadily worse. The gap has only gotten wider, you
yeah.
know, between different groups of people. And now, you know, it's Muslims, you know,
yeah.
like that's the party that we're choosing to scapegoat on. And it's just like, that's like saying that because the Unabomber was white, then all white people are bombers. You
yeah.
know, like that's not, it's not appropriate. It's not right.
No.
And it's not accurate.
It's running things on fear instead of facts
mm-hmm.
and actual, you know, reporting and background information. And Captain America, in all the Captain Americas, there is this hint. And I think the director does it well in the newer movies.
Mm-hmm.
of showing that it's not so in your face that that's kind of what they're trying to teach you,
mm-hmm.
but
it's very realistic in the way
is.
That you're working for something and you see the party around you kind of becoming darker
mm-hmm.
and that's not where you want to be, and having the strength to say no
mm-hmm.
and to the point where people are after you and you have to run away and regroup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a very strong stance to take. And I think that having your biggest, obvious patriotic character taking that stance is a very clear indication of where they think that we should stand as a people.
Yeah, and you know, we don't have a real Captain America
no.
to help us in this. And
John Stewart has retired.
I love John Stewart.
I know.
And it would be nice if we had one, but also it's on us.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain he didn't do it all alone. Like, he
no.
had Peggy, he had Nick, he had S.H.I.E.L.D.,
Bucky,
he had
yep.
Bucky. He had so many people that helped him and some that, you know, argued with him, and he still had to stand up,
mm-hmm.
you know, to friends and the government. But he still held his morals in check. And though there is something to be said about, it's okay to change your mind, or let's say you think something and then someone gives you facts
mm-hmm.
and
that contradict that
and you really think about it deeply and put yourself in shoes
mm-hmm.
of someone else. And
And I think that's the hardest thing right now, especially in this political climate, is people being willing to admit when maybe you've made a mistake,
yeah,
or maybe you've trusted the wrong person, mm-hmm, or maybe your outlook on life has been very sheltered, mm-hmm, or very much as all of us, you know, have developed our own personalities and our, mm-hmm, own beliefs, you know, guided by those around you.
Yep.
And maybe the group around you was not representative of the world that we live in necessarily.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it's okay. And it's hard to change your mind. It's hard to reevaluate your stances on things. And it's hard to make when you maybe have made a wrong decision, mm-hmm, but it's also important and it makes you a stronger person. And I think that's something that Steve Rogers definitely goes through in those later movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is where do I stand and how do I separate myself from S.H.I.E.L.D. because what they're doing now, I don't believe is right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you see that inner turmoil, and that's something that we're probably all going through a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's terribly human, and right now you can't help but be affected by what's going on.
Because in the first movie, he's very steadfast, right? Mm-hmm. He's very steadfast in his beliefs and what he thinks. And
representative of a kind of that simpler outlook, that simpler time in our history. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then once things get more complicated, you know, that questioning of yourself and your morals and your, what you've held dear does, mm-hmm, come into play. And
yeah.
And there's a lot of strength in doing what's right and still taking a really deep look in and, mm-hmm, seeing your faults. Yeah. And he admits that. I mean, he knows his faults, and that's why him and Tony have so many fights, is because, mm-hmm, you know, Tony is very science and technology
and straight facts and
straight facts, mm-hmm, and theory, where Captain is
morally, maybe emotionally more driven.
Yeah, so you have this combativeness, which I think is what we see a lot,
mm-hmm,
today, and yet they do end up finding a way to, you know, be friends and work together and see each other's sides.
Yep.
And I think that's obviously not this movie, mm-hmm, but you still can see.
But Captain America as a character, yeah, in the whole, you know,
Avengers
expanse and, yeah, of properties that he is in, definitely represents, I think, where we all kind of are right now, mm-hmm, and how we all have to examine ourselves and, you know, what's important and what's going to make the lives of those around us better.
Mm-hmm. So then, you know, going back to the movie and why it's so good and timely now, we've, mm-hmm, talked a bit about, but just origin superhero stories are just kind of the best, because
they're my favorite by far.
They are. You see how they develop as characters. You see, mm-hmm, the most development there. You see there's a lot of humor in it.
There is, and I think that they allow you to either fall in love or like or not like, mm-hmm, characters.
Yeah.
And I think that's very emotional. And I think that getting to know someone and watching their journey to become what they are ultimately going to become, mm-hmm, is very affecting.
Yeah, the humor is amazing. And the introduction, mm-hmm, of Peggy, even, you know, Stark Sr.
Yeah. That and, you know, even Red Skull is a very interesting character. And I was really wondering before this movie came out, how are you going to do Red Skull? Because, yeah, he is a comic book character. His, mm-hmm, whoever did that makeup.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just remember seeing that and like, how is this going to not look ridiculous? I'm glad that they started off with like the regular Hugo Weaving face, because they, yeah, kind of prepared you for what his personality was, and then that could be reflected in the makeup of his character and what he really looks like beneath the mask.
Yeah.
I think that was a great idea, and,
yeah,
what you would have to do, because otherwise if you just had this guy show up with a red skull for a face, like,
yeah,
it's gonna be a little bit like, say what?
It's the devil.
Am I supposed to take this seriously?
What's happening? Is this Red Hood? No, yeah, and, you know, because they have to make it like he has no nose, mm-hmm, kind of like Voldemort, and yeah, the makeup is so well done, and he looks so creepy.
Yes,
so creepy. And, yeah,
they still allowed him to emote under that mask,
mm-hmm,
that was usually just anger or annoyance,
yeah,
or condescension. But he's still a great designed character.
Mm-hmm. He's such a good villain.
Yes,
you know, the Nazi is a good villain because they're,
I think,
they're villains.
Universally, we can all agree they weren't good people,
right?
Yeah,
you know, and he has that comic book look.
Mm-hmm. He's the most iconic of his villains, though, so you kind of had to start with Red Skull.
That's where I was going to go with it. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. Yeah. Yeah, he is just, it's such a good and evil, you know, classic story.
And it's that World War II storyline. It's that simple good versus evil. No one's arguing that the Nazis should win, you know?
Yeah.
So obviously this is going to be where you're going to start. In 1941, this is your bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the fight scenes are super cool.
That, when that bridge is going away in the fire.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? So amazing.
This is
I also love Bucky's line. You don't have one of those, do you?
Yeah, the comedy that Marvel puts in most of their movies is very well timed. It's subtle. Who is Stan Lee in this movie? Do you remember?
Stan Lee is one of the guys when Captain America is supposed to be getting a medal. He's in the audience waiting for him to come out, and Captain America doesn't show up because he doesn't care about medals.
Yeah.
He's off fighting the war, and Stan Lee is in the audience, and some other guy comes out to tell the mayor, whoever it was, that he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan Lee's just like, I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah. I like that they're giving him more speaking roles in a lot of these little cameos.
I will say,
now,
though,
too,
that off topic, the Deadpool one, kind of creepy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. But, you know, that's Deadpool.
Yes.
That's a
true story.
That's a whole nother another type of hero.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about two completely different heroes.
Yeah.
And when, you know, they're giving him all of his gadgets and, you know, that you see the... that Peggy likes him before.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely tell that the feelings from Peggy to Steve happen well before he's a super soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really sweet part, too, because she can really understand what he's going through, because she's had to go through the same thing as a woman, and he's having to go through the same thing as a man who they don't think is up to the task of being a soldier.
Right. And so when he changes and when she touches him, it's...
And that was not scripted. That was Haley Atwell, like, standing there and like... Oh, I shouldn't touch, but I want to touch.
I shouldn't. Oh my. And so, yeah, you see this. The love story isn't in your face, and I think it's super well done
and very organic.
It is,
yeah.
And it actually develops, as opposed to a lot of Disney stories that we know that just we've met for the first time. Let's get together.
You're beautiful.
Forever. I love you.
I'm done. We're married.
You can sing.
Yeah. Exactly.
You have a voice of an angel. Okay, well.
There's other things to consider.
Yeah. What if I have a terrible personality? The movie does everything right, I think, for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up with Captain America. I wasn't the hugest fan. It's not that I was not a fan. I just didn't do a lot of Marvel.
There's just a lot of comics out there, and sometimes you don't pick the one with the guy with the American flag on his chest, you know?
Yeah. And so I was a little reserved, but I knew it, but, you know, I really liked Iron Man, so I wanted to give it a shot. And I think it's probably the second best movie. I still like Iron Man better, but this is probably the second best Marvel movie.
You think so?
I think it was better than Thor's.
I will say that I have two favorite Marvel movies. This is one. And the other is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Shit. I forgot about Guardians. I kind of put Guardians in a different category.
It's a completely different universe.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. So,
but it's still under that umbrella.
Okay, all right. In the Marvel umbrella. Yeah, you're right. But I like it better than a lot of the Avenger movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's more of a solid...
It's a comedy, and which these are not.
Right.
That is just a solid sci-fi comedy.
Yeah,
that's
Guardians,
what it is.
Yeah. Yes. Rocket Raccoon. I love him so much.
Oh my god.
He's one of the best characters.
That's also a great Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah. It totally is.
Oh. But yes, but this one is definitely one of my favorites. What would you say if you're going to rate this movie?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say out of five Mickey heads?
I have to give it a 4.
That's solid.
For me, mm-hmm. that's big for me not knowing a lot about the character when I came in, but the movie has given me a whole new appreciation for Captain America, and I would say he's one of my more favorite heroes now, especially in the times.
Yes.
And I've always liked Chris Evans,
because
he's pretty.
He is pretty.
He's pretty.
There's no denying that.
And he makes the perfect Steve Rogers. Mm-hmm. You know, where the biggest thing that I find with a lot of Batman movies is the actor can either play Batman really well or they can either play Bruce Wayne
really well.
And this one, he can play Captain America and he played Steve Rogers perfectly. Mm-hmm. So he just did a great job.
Yeah, and I think that character in particular, those two things are so much the same.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely are. Mm-hmm. But there's still that badassness when he puts on his suit mm-hmm. and he just takes charge that...
Yep. Flinging his shield around.
Catching it. Yep. Being all cool.
The boomerang shield.
Doing the superhero pose when mm-hmm. he goes down to one knee.
It's gonna do a superhero pose.
Yay! Watch, she's gonna do it. She's gonna do it. and you have Peggy Carter.
She's so amazing. I love her so much. Again, my favorite character in the entire MCU is Peggy Carter.
So you have her and you get introduced to Harold Stark. Mm-hmm. And... And Hugo Weaving. Just all the acting is so well done.
So well done. The direction is great.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can't find a fault. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what would you give it?
I'm going to say 4.5. Mm-hmm. It was very hard not to give this movie a 5 for me. Because it is my favorite besides Guardians. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy and this one are tied. I love mm-hmm. origin stories. Mm-hmm. I love vintage fashion. Yep. I love Peggy Carter. Mm-hmm. And I thought Chris Evans was amazing as Captain America. There wasn't a part in this movie that I felt was slow. A lot of times in superhero movies, you'll have parts where you think, it's kind of slow. Especially, I'd call out the later Iron Man movies.
Oh, yeah. Like definitely two. Had,
yeah, two and three.
Slow. Yeah, three was kind of slow.
Yeah. The first Iron Man's amazing, but... After that, they got some slow moments going in there.
Yeah.
But I thought this was, from the beginning to the end, there's not a part that I, want to go take a break and go to the kitchen to get something, you know, when you're watching it.
Yeah, I need some more popcorn.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't care about this part. I really like the entire part. I love that the women in this movie are so tough mm-hmm. and feminine mm-hmm. at the same time, which is really a hard balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that I can't pick out more than probably 5 films that do it really well.
That's true. Because
it's a hard balance to be tough but not a sex kitten. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I don't want a Bond girl.
No,
I want someone who's steadfast mm-hmm. and tough and gorgeous and fun.
Yep.
You know, and that's because that's just this person you can point out for young girls and for women is you can be like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to have out there.
Yeah.
It's
just another example of... You know.
The set decoration, the design, mm-hmm. I got to call all that out. So beautiful. So well done. Even the overall kind of sepia tone that the film has.
Yeah, totally.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it feels vintage. It feels that time.
Mm-hmm. Without being blurry or mm-hmm. shoddy or feel like you're having to really concentrate to watch the film. It's just gorgeous. So, yeah, definitely for me, one of my favorites. 4.5 easy, almost mm-hmm. a 5, I'd say.
Nice. I'm not surprised.
But and then, of course, as we do every episode, we're going to do something to go along with the film. I'm going to be doing a Peggy Carter Disney bounding, so we'll see how that turns out.
It'll be amazing.
I have some pieces, and then I'm going to have to find another one, but I'm excited to try to find it.
Yeah.
Hayley Atwell is my end-all be-all, as far as that's what I aspire to be.
Yes. Right?
Love
no kidding.
Her.
Yeah, she's great. And then, you know, if you aren't following us on Instagram, we are doing the Disney Store Challenge, which is mm-hmm. So This Is Love hashtag.
They'll be going on until Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So we have, another week?
Yep.
Week to go, essentially. Make sure you're following us on all the social media.
Facebook.
Twitter.
Yep.
Facebook.
Instagram.
All that good stuff. The blog. The blog mm-hmm. is a great place to get all of our articles, all of the crafts, anything mm-hmm. that you've missed.
And that's babesofwonderland.com.
Mm-hmm. There's also a link to the podcast there.
Yep.
Or you can go to Fancy Pants Gangsters.
Mm-hmm. Also, subscribe.
Yes.
It's super easy. You get the episode as soon as it comes out. You can do it Stitcher, Speaker, iTunes. We're on all three.
Yeah.
So definitely, if you don't want to have to worry about, is that out yet? Do I need to go download it?
Right.
Just subscribe.
Yeah, and as always, thank you to Fancy Pants for hosting us. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of great shows. Make sure you're checking them out. They have music, voice acting, food.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, let us know what you guys think about Captain America, what you think about kind of how it correlates to the times that we're living in now.
Give us some memes even.
Yeah, give us some funny memes.
Like, we're all about that.
Yeah, we're so, all about funny stuff too. If you want to get deep, we can have a deep conversation about it as well. And, you know, we hope that you're all just doing some self-care right now. Make sure you're taking care of yourselves, because it can be a stressful time.
It's so stressful. Even just going on Facebook sometimes is stressful. So just take a moment for you. Take a break.
Yeah.
Relax. And watch Captain America.
Yeah, totally.
Until next time.
Bye.